Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mona Montgomery with the Hola Hoax. It's very important that we talk about this hoax, that there were gas chambers in Germany, that soap was made out of pure Jewish fat, and that lampshades were made out of Jewish skin by this sadistic, demonized monster Hitler. We need to understand the character of the Jew. We need to understand our own character. The truth is that Hitler was not a sadist. There were no gas chambers, no Jewish soap, no lampshades. It's the Jews, a mongrel race, not much above the African Negro, who has been committing all of these atrocities throughout their history, and are committing atrocities against the Palestinians today.
The history of Israel's atrocities against the Palestinians goes back to the inception of the states of Israel and Palestine, which was created by the same map at the same time, known as the Partition Plan. And from day one, Israel has been in violation of that Partition Plan. The Partition Plan took the area and divided it 50-50 between Israel and Palestine. Before the Partition Plan was created, primarily Palestinians lived in that area. But the Jews, claiming they'd been badly treated by Hitler, convinced the world that they should be given their own homeland state. So the world, the United Nations, took 50% of that land and said, "Okay, Israel, you can have this half of the Partition Plan, but the Palestinians get this other half of the Partition Plan. And Israel, you are expected to treat the already residing Palestinians equally and fairly with human rights and civil rights, even though they presently live on your half of the Partition Plan." And that was the agreement upon which was based Israel's right to move into her half of the Partition Plan. Within 2 years, Israel, by virtue of force, violence, rape, murder, guns, forced 700,000 resident Palestinians off of the Israeli side of the Partition Plan in violation of Israel's agreement with the United Nations. But that was just step one in the three-step plan to steal everything that the Palestinians had. First, Israel kicked the Palestinians off of Israel's side. Then Israel had a war. In retaliation for these 700,000 Palestinians being illegally pushed off of the Israel side, the Arab states attacked Israel. Israel fought and pushed back Palestine's borders by 50%. So now Israel owned three-fourths of the land that she was only supposed to own one-half of. Then the Israelis decided to, quote, occupy, unquote, the remaining 25% of the Palestinian land. And to this day, they go in on any pretext they can find, and they bulldoze down the homes of the Palestinians, and they build a high-rise building into which they move Jews from all over the world, including Europe and America. This is the situation between Israel and Palestine that you haven't been told.
I think that the United Nations is entirely right if they think that Israel is 1,000 times the perpetrator against Palestine, because that's my view as well. When David Ben-Gurion agreed to the Partition Plan, he stated in private correspondence to his son that he had no intention of honoring the Partition Plan. He was only taking it as step one toward creating greater Israel that would go from Egypt to Iraq. And when David Ben-Gurion agreed to one of the terms of the agreement was that the resident Palestinians would be allowed to continue to live in the Israeli portion of the Partition Plan, and that they would be given civil and human rights. Instead, what the Israelis did
from the minute they put their foot on the soil, was to start a campaign of rape and murder against the Palestinians, the resident Palestinians, and drove 700,000 Palestinians off the Israeli section of the partition plan. That's 250,000 people that were forced to flee in direct violation of the agreement between David Ben-Gurion and the United Nations. As far as the Arabs rejecting the partition plan, that's completely a falsehood. It's true that the Arab nations retaliated against the expulsion of the Palestinians, but the Israelis started that fight and to this day lie about it. They lie and say, "We just innocently, in good faith, tried to take up residence in our little section of the world, and we were attacked for no reason by these terrible bullies." They were the bullies. They were driving out, and they called it expelling, 700,000 Palestinians in direct violation of the covenant. From a religious point of view, Christians have much more in common with the Muslims than they do with the Jews, although they have a terrible bone of contention with the Muslims because the Muslims practice animal sacrifice, which is clearly demonstrates that they don't worship a God of love. Any God who would be pleased by the sacrifice of man or animal is clearly giving favors in exchange for pain, and God does not do that. The Jews also are guilty of that crime. They're fattening up a calf right now in Israel to be slaughtered when their Messiah comes, and it's just reprehensible. It's disgusting. It's almost as bad as voodoo, and that needs to stop. The sacrifice and the killing of living creatures to please God has to be outlawed throughout the world, because that is not a God of love, and the only God that should be allowed to be worshipped is a God of love. Aside from that, Christians have much more in common with the Muslims than they do with the Jew, because the Muslims, while they don't worship Christ as God, at least recognize him as a truthful, honest, good prophet, whereas the Jews see Christ as a criminal who was correctly crucified. And this makes them completely unacceptable from the point of view of the Christian. Not only did they kill Christ, but to this day, they contend that they were right to do so. This will never be accepted by Christians. Furthermore, under the original partition plan, Jerusalem was supposed to be an international zone. It was recognized by the international community that it was sacred to so many religions, Muslims, Christians, and Jews, that the international community was supposed to control it. But again, Israel stole what didn't belong to them, when they stole Jerusalem. The war against Iraq is an act of tyranny because it doesn't have the support of the informed mass of Americans. Americans have not been allowed to know the truth of the root causes of the war because our press is controlled by Israel. Since we have a controlled press, we have no information. We have the right under the First Amendment to have a free press, but we have no free press. Our press never tells us when Israel is in the wrong. So how can Americans be informed? Our press doesn't tell us that Israel's intent is to have all of the property from the Euphrates to the Nile. So how can we be informed? Our press only tells us about Palestinian atrocities against Israelis and plays down Israeli atrocities against Palestinians, and our press has never told us that Israel is occupying Palestinian territory. That's just not been told to us. We were never told that when Israel moved into the Israeli section of the partition plan, they drove out 700,000 Palestinians, which they promised not to do, and that they used force and rape and murder to do it. The conquest of southern Lebanon is very, very important. In Israel's conquest of this whole Greater Israel, which goes from Egypt to Iraq, one of the steps Israel took was to invade southern Lebanon. And they did torture and kill hundreds of thousands of Lebanese. And there were torture chambers. And there are museums that prove this today. These are facts. If it hadn't been for modern technology in the form of video cams, they'd be there today. But Hezbollah was so clever, they took video cams into the concentration camps that the Israelis have set up for the southern Lebanese, and they busted their asses, and they drove them out of Lebanon using this modern technology. They shamed them and humiliated them in the sight of the world while they were defeating them militarily, and that's how Lebanon was rescued from Israel. That's how they found out about the tortures and the other atrocities, and that's how they were able to set up the museum. I don't see any conflict between Christianity and Buddhism, for example. It's not that I'm trying to promote Christianity. What I'm trying to promote for the United States of America is a concept of God that is a God of love, because to me that separates the animals from the humans. So it's not, I mean, it's very important that we get this straight and that we not see God as a cruel, vengeful creature. He simply is not. And if you don't get that, you haven't achieved human status yet. And we need to separate the humans from the animals. If we're going to have a civilization, we need to be able to say, this is good, this is bad, this is civilized, this is primitive, this is human, this is less than human. We need to have that capacity. I think that Christians have a lot in common with Muslims. I really do. I feel a kinship with the Muslim that I don't feel with the Jew. And I think it needs to be looked at. It's crazy, in my opinion, for us to be doing what we're doing in Iraq, which is setting up a greater Israel to be turned over to Israel. It's obvious to me that we're conquering Iraq with an intention of turning it over to Israel along with the rest of the Middle East of that area. It's called Greater Israel, and when David Ben-Gurion took over Israel and accepted the partition plan, he let it be known in private correspondence that he had no intention of settling for anything less than all of the property from the Nile to the Euphrates. He was a crook. He violated the contract before he even signed the contract. The contract was created in bad faith, and therefore, as far as I'm concerned, it's null and void. But I'm not going to fight against Israel's right to exist because nobody else seems to care, so why should I? However, putting Israel in control of the Middle East is crazy. You don't take a small country that has one religion and place it in domination over a billion people who have a different religion. That's a powder keg that's going to explode shortly, I'm afraid. So that's what I'm trying to point out, that it's crazy for us to expect Israel to dominate the Middle East. But that's what we're doing, because inertia and corruption among our politicians has led us to this point. And we really need to turn this ship around and make it very clear to the Muslim world we have no intention of letting Israel have her greater Israel at the expense of Muslimania, which is what I call Muslimia land or Arabia. If we're going to have an intellectual conversation, I think we should first answer the question, why are we invading Iraq? I don't think it's un-American to ask that question, and I should think any good American would have the answer. So there should be a lot of people that are willing to get up to the mic right away, being good, intelligent, informed Americans, and explain to me, because I can't figure it out, why are we going into Iraq? The reason it's so important to understand Israel's expansionist policy is because it relates to what's happening today. Today, we're fighting a war against Iraq so that Israel can expand all the way from the Nile to the Euphrates River. As they claim they were promised by God, in, I think it's Genesis of the Bible. They believe, wrongfully, that God has given to them all of the land from Egypt to Iraq, and they will never settle for less, no matter how illegal their selfishness is. They proved that when they kicked off the Palestinians off their own side of the partition plan and then stole the Palestine section of the partition plan. They proved that when they took the Golan Heights from Syria. They proved that when they took southern Lebanon and had to be driven out of southern Lebanon after occupying it for 20 years. And in my opinion, they're proving it today by having America subdue Iraq, obviously with the intent to turn it over to Israel, so that Israel will have a giant piece of the puzzle of the Middle East, which she wants to control from Egypt to Iraq. They say it's because they think God gave it to them, which is completely wacky and unethical. You don't be able to quote an ancient scripture to murder and steal from and rape from your neighbor. That's not the proper use of the gospel. But that's what they are doing. The real reason is they want to control not only the oil but the water of the Middle East. Their intention is to divert the water from the main water source of the Middle East, which is the Tigris and the Euphrates, which both run through Iraq. And just as they stole 80% of the Palestinians' water, you may be sure they will steal 80% of the Middle East's water, because they are thieves. What else do you call a country that steals water and land from its neighbor? Why should we be polite in the way we address these people? Why do we not call them thieves and murderers like Jesus did in the Bible? When people asked Jesus what you had to do to be saved, he didn't say you have to be a Jew. He didn't say you have to be white or black or believe in him or believe not in him. He said, don't rape, don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery. That's what Jesus taught. But these people are raping and stealing and murdering. So how can they imagine that God wants them to have anything, much less all of the property from the Nile to the Euphrates? They're completely crazy. And we're letting them get away with it. We're not calling them on their shit because they are so abominable that most good people are ashamed to call this abomination an abomination. It's embarrassing to have to say, you, my friend, are a thief, a rapist, and a murderer. It's hard to do that. But when your friend becomes a rape, a thief, and a murderer, you have an obligation to stand up to him and say, my friend, you are a rapist, a thief, and a murderer, and I condemn you. And it's time that America does that to Israel, because it's true. And if we don't stop this war, if we don't stop giving pieces of the Middle East to Israel, we are going to be punished by the same God, as not to mention the worldwide tribunal, as Israel is going to be punished, because we are in bed with Israel, and Israel is a rogue terrorist state. Most people think we're going into Iraq because Iraq has weapons of mass destruction, Iraq has gassed its own people, and Iraq is in violation of United Nations resolutions. But Iraq does not have anywhere near the weapons of mass destruction that Israel has. Israel brags about having between 200 and 400 nuclear warheads. And she obtained these weapons illegally in violation of the United Nations Covenant against Proliferation of Weapons of Mass Destruction. The United States gave Israel both the material and the money to build nuclear plants, which were supposed to be used for electricity to power Israel. This was done under Eisenhower's Adams for Peace plan. Israel agreed not to use this money and this nuclear material to build weapons. But Israel did build these weapons. 200 to 400 is what Israel brags about today. I believe it was in the 80s that Israel decided to cause trouble between the United States and Egypt. So to this end, Israel attempted to sink our ship, our American ship, the Liberty, in hopes of blaming it on Egypt. Unfortunately for Israel, she wasn't able to accomplish the task, and our own sailors were able to see that the small boat that came out to the ship to bomb the ship and sink the ship were Israeli ships. So Israel failed to sabotage America and blame it on Egypt in that event. Later, soon thereafter, Israel attempted to blame something else on Egypt in the Levant affair. Israel put bombs on an Israeli soldier, dressed him up in Egyptian clothes, and sent him out to the task to bomb American embassies, post offices, and theaters in Egypt with the intent of bombing American embassies and blaming it on Egypt. Again, Israel failed in her attempt, and she was exposed. Because of these two events, Israel had to replace her prime minister with a new prime minister. And almost immediately after that, our president, JFK, wrote a strong letter to the new prime minister saying, "You are screwing us." I mean, I'm paraphrasing, of course. But basically, he was saying, "We're on to you, Israel. We're coming in, and we're not going to take this abuse, and we're getting our weapons of mass destruction. You're not allowed to have them." 3 months later, he was assassinated. That is my response to the allegation that the reason we're going into Iraq is because of the weapons of mass destruction. Israel has much, much more weapons of mass destruction than Iraq ever thought of having. And Israel needs to be dismantled. Not only that, but the United Nations has asked us 31 times to sign a resolution or an agreement that they could go in, that the United Nations would go in as a whole and dismantle Israel and send some peacekeeping missions to stop the atrocities on the part of Israel against the Palestinians. And 31 times we have vetoed these resolutions that have borne the signature of all of the other members of the Security Council. So it's very, very unfair for us to attack Israel on the basis of weapons of mass destruction. And on the other hand, veto resolutions that would dismantle Israel's weapons of mass destruction, which are far, far more dangerous than what Iraq has. There's no excuse for this war on Iraq based on anything any other country has done in the past. Without even analyzing the rightness or wrongness of the British Empire, it's completely insane for us to be agreeing with Israel that the borders of Greater Israel should extend from Egypt to Iraq, and that's what we're obviously doing. We cannot put Israel in charge of the Middle East, even though that is what we're doing, because it's so unethical to put a Jewish nation in charge of a billion and a half Muslims. It's going to be an oppressive regime worse than what they have now. I think you'll find that Jordan will be next, or at least Jordan will be down the line. Or maybe they're not going to settle for Greater Israel. Maybe they want the entire Middle East. But the fingerprints on this Iraq attack are of Israel are all over it. It's the same modus operandi. Take the land, rebuild the land in the way you want it. That's what's happening. What's happening in the world is that there are no jobs for anybody. We've overpopulated, overexploited the land, overdone everything. There's no balance. There's just rampant capitalism in its worst form. It's not pure capitalism. Pure capitalism would be good. That's where The guy that does the better mousetrap wins the market. That's the way capitalism is supposed to be, and that encourages a better technology and a better society, and it's a free society. But when capitalism starts increasing its markets by creating war and forcing new markets to open by basically enslaving the populace, you have a sort of a cancerous form of capitalism. And that's what we're seeing now with what's called American imperialism. But it really isn't American imperialism in this case. This is Israeli imperialism. We're fighting this war for Israel, and it's not right to silence that statement by calling someone anti-Semitic or anti-Jew or a hater or a racist, although that is what's being done to people who say this. People have been put in jail for saying this, like David Duke, Matt Hale, Ernst Zundel. Important politicians have been stripped from their honors, like Trent Lott, Jim Moran, for saying that this war is on behalf of Israel. Anytime you get that kind of oppression against the truth, you can be pretty sure that you're telling the truth. It's just awful. We should not be doing this. We should not put Israel in charge of the Middle East, because Israel hates the Muslims, and Israel will oppress them even worse than they're being oppressed by their own people. Nobody can accuse me of not wanting to take over the Middle East. You can look at the animated cartoon I did, which I just posted in September of 2001, right after the attack on Iraq. I mean, in New York. I'd be happy for us to subdue the entire Middle East and get rid of the torture chambers and bring those people up to date. And I was for the war until I studied the relationship of Israel to the United States and realized that's not what the deal is at all. We're fighting this war in order to grant to Israel greater Israel. And that's a serious mistake. That can cause World War III in the following way. First, we subdue Israel. Then we subdue whoever else is... First, we subdue Iraq. Then we subdue whoever else Israel wants us to subdue. And we get away with it. Which is Israel's way of doing things. They're very sneaky. And they lie. So we continue to agree. We'll lie and we'll be sneaky. And we won't tell the world what we're doing. And then when it's all kind of a fait accompli, we'll turn it all over to Israel. And then Israel can steal the water from the Euphrates and Tigris rivers like she stole 80% of the Palestinians' water. And she can make another desert bloom and call it a miracle. But at some point, the world is going to catch on to us and they're going to stomp us, because they're not going to allow this to happen. They're not going to let Israel control 1.5 billion Muslims. It would be too cruel. You don't have a country that has no heartstrings attached to its subjects. You don't put that person in control of the subjects. It's too cruel. And that's why the world will not sit by and watch it happen. But that's what Israel wants to do, because Israel is a crazy, perverted, cruel, deceitful, psychopathic, criminal state. And they would love the idea of controlling 1.5 billion Muslims. Nothing would give them greater pleasure. They are, after all, the devil, or close to it, in their sinful state, their sinfulness. Just look at the lies they told about Hitler and you find out exactly who they are. They make up stories that would curl your hair. They come out of a perfectly natural detention situation and say, oh, they were gassing us in the showers. Oh, they were torturing us. They were sewing our children together and pretending that they were Siamese twins. Oh, they were making soap out of our pure Jewish fat. Oh, they made lampshades out of our Jewish skin. I mean, all you have to do is listen to the lies to understand the depths of the depravity of this people. There is no end to what they will do. There is no limit to their depravity. Given the opportunity, they will dominate cruelly, cruelly beyond belief, 1 billion Muslims. They would do that. They would love to do that. The world will not let that happen. I think the world is already on to us.
But if they're not now, they will be in the future. And when that happens, the world is going to react. The Jews are not the light of the world. They lied about the gas chambers. There were no gas chambers. They were detained by Hitler because they were enemies of the state, in that they were trying to bring communism into Germany after it had decimated the populace in Russia. Hitler didn't want this. The Jews declared war on Hitler. Hitler put them into concentration camps, just like we put the Japanese into concentration camps, and for the same reason. They were enemies of the state. They are not scientific geniuses. They are liars, liars of the first order. After they were left out of the concentration camps, they lied, they exaggerated, they said they'd been gassed, they said that that lampshades had been made out of their skin, that soap had been made out of their fat, that children had been sewn together by this monster Mengele in order to make it appear that they were Siamese twins. There was no end to their demonic, if I may use the word, imaginations. That's why people connect that with killing Jesus, because Jesus identified himself as being the way, the truth, and the life. And when you see how these people crucify the truth, you can't help but hearken back to the fact that they did crucify the truth when they crucified Jesus on the cross. It isn't an entirely logical connection, but you just can't fail but to make the connection. These people crucify the truth. They don't just lie, they crucify the truth. And they're not geniuses. Their reigning saint of genius, Einstein, was a complete fraud. He stole the theory of relativity and the other patents while he was a fourth-rate clerk in the patent office in Bern, Austria, or Bern, Switzerland. And that's a scandal that's not going to go away. I hope the whole world is listening to the voices of Americans so they can hear that the only Americans, with few exceptions, who are raising their voice in exultation over the horrible atrocities against the Iraqis are voices with Jewish accents. I find that very, very telling. And I hope the world will note that when they decide who they should punish for this horrible thing. I hope they realize it's the Jew, not the Gentile, but the Jew that pushed this war and is enjoying it so much. I think the reason for the war is the same reason that the Israelis have been doing the same kind of activities to the Palestinians. It's a land grab. The bulldozers come in, they take over the area, and then they rebuild it. They put up their own high-rises or whatever they want to. And it started when the Jews landed on Israel, drove out the 700 resident Palestinians, then pushed the borders back 50% into Palestinian territory, and then started exactly this kind of activity in the remaining portion of Palestine, targeting certain areas in the remaining portion of Palestine, bulldozing down whatever they found there in the way of little houses or shops or whatever, and then they build a high-rise, and they move their people in. The modus operandi is clear. The guy from Iraq in front of the United Nations said it exactly right. What we're seeing is a takeover by the American-Israeli mafia. We learned the reason for this kind of activity way back before Israel was even created, when David Ben-Gurion accepted the partition plan, clearly stating he would never be satisfied until Israel extended all the way up to Iraq. This is known as Greater Israel. Greater Israel, according to these primitive Israelis, these what they call thugs or criminals, they believe that God gave them the area all the way from Egypt to Iraq,
or in the Bible it talks about from the Nile to the Euphrates. They want to control all that area from the Nile to the Euphrates, from Egypt to Iraq, and Iraq is a very significant piece of that puzzle.
Maybe we are fighting the war against Iraq just for money. But it's not for American money. It's for Jewish money. Take a look at the placement of Iraq. Take a look at the placement of Israel. And then notice that in the Bible, these fools think that their satanic God has promised them all of the land from the Euphrates River to the Tigris. In other words, all of the land from Egypt to Iraq. That's what David Ben-Gurion said to his son when he accepted the partition plan. This is just a step toward getting greater Israel. These people are thieves. They kicked out 700,000 Palestinians from the Israel side of the partition plan. Naturally, the Arabian states attacked them. They say they had done nothing wrong to be attacked, but they just don't want you to notice they expelled these 700,000 resident Palestinians, which was in direct conflict, and it was a contradiction, a violation of the partition plan. Then the Arabians attacked them, and they pushed the borders all the way to Jerusalem and took Jerusalem, depriving Palestinians not only of their right under the United Nations covenant to stay residing in the Israeli portion, but also of 50% of their own portion. Then they started another war in 1967, and what they call occupied, but what I call they took the rest of the Palestinian land. They are an aggressive, expansionistic state. They're not going to stop until they get at least as far as Iraq. They tried to get Lebanon, but fortunately for the Lebanese, they were pushed out after 20 years. They did get the Golan Heights from Syria. I'm going to post a link, and you can take a look at the map of Greater Israel, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. You'll see how Iraq fits into their plan. This war is being fought to benefit Israel and not to benefit the United States. I think it would be impossible for America and Israel to create Greater Israel. I do think the whole world would come down on us, but I don't think it's impossible that we would try. And I do think that this war is being fought to satisfy Israel so she can have Greater Israel. In other words, I think this is a suicidal war. That's why I'm against this war. Israel is a rogue terrorist state. She's a psychopath, a sociopath. She's proved that so many times. She proved that when she first moved in Israel and drove out the 700,000 Palestinians using rape and murder as her tool. She proved that when she stole all of Palestine's territory right up to and including Jerusalem. She proves it every day when she goes into Palestine's last remaining acreage, bulldozes down homes and builds up high-rises. She proved she was a rogue terrorist, psychopathic state when she took the Golan Heights from Syria. Israel proved she was a psychopathic, sociopathic, rogue terrorist state when she invaded southern Lebanon in an attempt to steal that portion of Lebanon. So when you're dealing with a psychopathic person, you're dealing with a person that has no limits, no self-restraint. Israel has used her control over American politicians to make America go to war to create Greater Israel. And America is too weak and cowardly to stand up to this psychopathic child and tell it to go sit in the corner. That's why America is going to war. America is a coward as well as a bully. And the world will punish America, and I, for one, don't want to be punished for Israel's crimes. I want my country to stand up
with self-respect and tell that psychopathic child she cannot have her way, so that we can continue being a legitimate world leader and have some say in the future of planetary politics, instead of being seen as a rogue terrorist state ourselves and having the powers of the entire world put into force to destroy us. That's why I'm against this war. If we wanted to change the regime in Iraq, we would simply offer Saddam Hussein $1 billion to step down. And if that didn't work, we'd give him $2 billion to step down. But we're spending $250 billion. So I don't think it's to get rid of Saddam Hussein. And the reason, one of the reasons I believe we're fighting this war for Israel is because we're not allowed to say that we're fighting the war for Israel. Many, many people have either been jailed or stripped of their privileges for saying that we're going to war in Iraq, against Iraq, for Israel. For example, on trumped up charges, David Duke is now in jail. Matt Hale has been put in jail on trumped up charges for saying the same thing. Ernst Zundel has been framed and is in jail and has been deported for saying the same thing. Trent Lott was stripped of his position as majority whip or minority whip, I'm not sure what that is, but he had a big position he had to give up, and Jim Moran had to give up his position as representative whip. So when I see a lot of people being persecuted for saying something like the world is flat, I mean, when like for instance saying that the world is round when everybody else demands that you say it's flat, I suspect that the world is round. So when I see everybody going to jail for saying that this war is for Israel, I start thinking this war is for Israel. This isn't the first time, by the way, that Israel will have persuaded America to go to war for her in order to create a state for Israel. World War II was fought primarily for the purpose of giving the Jews Israel. And in furtherance of that goal, lies were told, or let me say at least statements were told, for which you go to jail if you question. For example, that there were gas chambers. If you say you don't believe there were gas chambers, you go to jail today. In Germany, England, Austria, Australia, Canada, Switzerland, Sweden, etc., etc., etc. All of these countries, you go to jail for saying there were no gas chambers. That makes me think there were gas chambers. I mean, that makes me think there were no gas chambers. If, as we all know by now, Israel created World War II in order to create Israel, then doesn't it make sense to you that they would create World War III to create Greater Israel? One of the things I notice about the Jew-controlled judiciary is that they believe that if they can get a verdict, that makes it true. My father taught me that that doesn't make it true. You're still allowed to question the verdict. The verdict will go forward, the judgment will be paid, but you can't change night to day by virtue of a verdict. And to get a confession from someone or a plea bargaining is even less persuasive. It's just amazing how many people are forced to plea bargain when some horrible prosecutor like Michael Chertoff, who is the most important and powerful prosecutor in the whole country, says, "You're going down, boy. You are going down." And that's what was done to David Duke. And what you do when you're in that position is you plea bargain, and we all know it. We all know it. Nobody's foolish enough to believe that there's not any corruption in our judiciary system.
And everybody knows that the reason Michael Chertoff went after David Duke is because David Duke was going after Michael Chertoff. He was correctly alleging on his website that Michael Chertoff had been wrong to give safe passage to three cells of Israeli spies. And David Duke also said on his website that we were fighting this war against Iraq on behalf of Israel. So, naturally, Michael Chertoff came after David Duke, probably combed through his tax forms. That's the way these corrupt practices are usually conducted. You go through someone's private personal information and you look for I's that weren't dotted or T's that weren't crossed or a little mistake in arithmetic and you say, that's enough, that's all I need. I am going to rake you through the coals of the legal system. I'm not going to let up on you until you have three heart attacks. So you can either sign on the dotted line or kiss your white ass goodbye. And that's what I am sure Michael Chertoff did, because he then followed it up with even more egregious false attacks against Matt Hale, whom they planted in his organization and got him to talk to this man. And it was tape recorded, and even though the tape recording revealed no wrongdoing on Matt Hale's part, the fact that they got the tape recorder was enough evidence, false and inadequate as it was, for Michael Chertoff to tell Matt Hale, white boy, you are going down. Because Matt Hale also said Michael Chertoff should not give him safe passage to those three cells of Israeli spies, and that we were fighting the war against Iraq on behalf of Israel. And Ernst Zundel's case is even more ridiculous. They deported Ernst Zundel on an immigration charge, which they've never done to anybody else, because they claim he missed a meeting when he was never even notified that there was such a meeting. And what was Ernst Zundel doing to Michael Chertoff to kiss his mangy white ass goodbye? He also said that Michael Chertoff should not have given safe passage home to Israel to three cells of Israeli spies, one of them 200 strong, and that we were fighting this war against Iraq on behalf of Israel. So tell me that that's proof that these good white men were bad just because the Jew-controlled judiciary said so. No. No white person would ever believe that. You might convince some non-whites, but no white person is that stupid.